Well, we are in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. You'll remember how I've announced recently that we were going to have this day that was going to focus in on praying and understanding our responsibility to the nation of Israel as Christians. What does the Bible say? What are we to understand? And I'm going to endeavor to do that this morning. I, of course, cannot exhaust this subject. There's a lot of things to consider, but I will try to give you what I believe is the foundation of why we support Israel as a nation and as a people, the Jewish people. And we have a special guest here tonight. Brother Craig Hartman will be here. And he's a Jewish believer. He's been saved. Someone led him to the Lord. He'll be sharing his testimony tonight. And he'll be here at 6 p.m. and looking forward to hearing from our dear brother. I remember him speaking when I was in Bible college. Always encouraged my heart. He'll be answering questions also. We'll open it up for questions on the things that are going over in Israel and even how God's using him. We will not be recording the service tonight, live stream or audio, so it's not something you're going to be able to go back and listen to at his request, and I want to honor that just to be safe. But I encourage you strongly to be here tonight. I think it'll be a help to you, an encouragement to you spiritually, and want to encourage him as well. And so he and his wife will be here tonight with us for the 6 p.m. service, and I'm sure they'll have a little time afterwards to fellowship just a bit. But that's coming up. Well, if you found your place there in Genesis chapter 12, I feel a little inadequate to speak on this subject, but I believe the Lord would have us where we are this morning. I originally had Brother Bob Josie scheduled. He's our missionary, doing a great work, and I appreciate him, his heart for the Jewish people and his encouragement to me personally. And I know that God has a hand in things for whatever reasons. We don't always know why, but Brother Bob unfortunately had a pretty bad fall a couple weeks ago and required surgery, back surgery, and he's recovering from that in a great deal of pain. We want to pray for him, but he couldn't be here this morning. And I hope, I told him, Brother, we want to have you back. We will have you back. We will have you come in. And he was excited about that. He was just so humble about it, though, and very appreciative for the opportunity. But he encouraged me because I got to just talk with him a little bit over the phone and asked him about how we can show our love to the Jewish people and our support and as a believers what God commands us to do to bless them and what all that entails. So I just encourage you to pray for me this morning as I seek to give light upon that subject. And may God be pleased with our endeavor. Look with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to just begin with the call of Abraham. We'll start in verse 1. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, I do rejoice this morning in the wonderful spirit that we have here. I thank you for the presence of God. I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. I certainly am grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the center of our attention, our Messiah, the Savior of the world, the King of glory, the mighty God, the Lamb of God. And I do pray that this morning, God, that you would give me utterance, an anointing to preach your truth. And I pray for my precious friends here before me that you'd give them a heart to hear ears to hear, Lord, and a heart to listen and obey. I pray that you would just anoint this day. Thank you that you're moving already. And we just want to be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. Amen. I don't know about you, but I remember times in my childhood where we would, I don't know what kind of neighborhood you grew up in, but I grew up in a neighborhood that was probably 50 homes, had two streets. We had Westgate Drive and Marietta Drive there in Greenwood, South Carolina. Just fond memories of growing up there in that neighborhood. We had a patch of woods behind our house, and we lived, our house happened to be white. It was a brick home, white house. I always enjoyed telling people I lived in the White House on Westgate Drive. But nevertheless, it was just there with my family. But my friends and I, we had the best times together. We played in those woods. Boy, we camped out. We played what we called manhunt and capture the flag and camped out, played football. Whatever season was at that time, that's what we were playing. If it was football, we were playing football. If it was baseball, we were playing baseball. If it was basketball, we were playing basketball, and so on. But I just have a lot of fond memories. But at that age, back when I was that age, you know, we had that time when you played those games. You always knew it was coming at the beginning. It was time to pick teams. And, when you start picking teams, if you're the captain, you naturally want to get the best ones, right? The most athletic, the ones that are going to help you get the points and first pick. Well, at that age, you know, I lived there from the age of, I believe we moved there in about 86 and, until I think it was around 93, we moved out. So just precious memories there. But from those years there, from about 6 years old till about 13 years old, I was quite the chunky fella. And I was not really never picked first. And unless I was the captain, then of course I could do some the choosing or whatnot. But if it was for speed, I knew I was going to be getting picked there toward the end. We had good fun with it and everything, and we knew, you know, it was just all fun and games. There wasn't any bullying going on, but I knew, man, especially if it was a certain sport. Now at certain times for football, if they needed just someone there on the line to take up space, yes, they would pick me. But just to get in somebody's way, that is. But you know, we had our reasons for picking certain ones. I knew certain guys, you know, Joseph Bishop. I knew old Joseph was great at baseball. And I knew Brandon Garland was good at baseball, you know. And then I knew Brian, my friend Brian Spivey. I knew Brian was good at soccer, man. He played great soccer. And there were certain guys in the neighborhood, they were just really talented, right? You just knew that, man, it was whatever you're getting. You wanted to pick them because you're probably going to have the winning team. And so we had this mindset of, all right, this is why I choose this individual. This is why I have picked this individual. We usually go off of strength, right? We go off ability. We go off of knowledge and we gauge those things. That this is what's going to help us succeed. Well, I tell you all that little of my life that maybe you didn't know about, but I tell you about that, that's how we choose as many times, even as kids and adults. There are certain contexts, right, where you make choices based on some of those things. Well, I say all that to say this. When God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, when He chose out a nation, a people called Israel, the Israelites, the Jews, He did not pick them because of their strength. He did not pick them and choose them because of their ability. He did not look upon them impressed and inspired to say, hey, this one's going to, these are going to be the greatest people that are going to obey me perfectly and are going to perform perfectly, and they're just going to do that. No, that's not what God did. You say, well, what did God see in these people? Why would he pick this nation? Why not an Asian nation, European nation? Why not America? Why not these different people groups and ethnicities that you could go along? Why the Israelites? Why did God choose them? Not our people group or whatnot. Well, I got one answer for that. It's called the sovereignty of God. What does that mean? That means God in His infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge and His perfection, for whatever reason, He chose this nation. They were a weak, they were a small nation, but He picked them out, and only He knows all the reasons why this particular nation was chosen. But the nation that He chose is the very nation that He also chose and planned from eternity past would come the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ was a Jewish man. He was the God-man. 100% man and 100% God. And He came through the nation Israel, just as it was prophesied and just as it was preached and spoken of and foretold by the prophets. Even in the book of Genesis, we see He was prophesied of in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where He would bruise the head of the serpent and it would bruise his heel. It was from there and all through the Word of God. Every chapter of every book points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we could easily, as maybe as kids we were, hey, why couldn't you pick me? Why couldn't you choose me? And we could debate about that. We could protest. But I want to tell you right now, the Word of God is very clear. God elected, chose Israel to be His people. And I want to tell you, according to the Word of God, we as His children, the church, need to understand that, and we need to obey the fact when He says, bless Israel. What does that mean? Well, with God's help, I want to speak of that. He spoke of blessing Israel here, and not only blessing, but cursing them that would curse Israel. We find that in chapter 12, verse 3. But it didn't just stop there. He also made it to, of course, you remember Isaac. Isaac was the chosen seed, not Ishmael. It was Isaac who was the one that came in the latter age, and where Abraham and Sarah had to exercise faith. They were in their 90s and 100 and realizing that they were beyond age to be able to produce children. But God, in His sovereign, almighty plan, performed a miracle in their lives. And they gave forth a son by the name of Isaac. And then Isaac would also pass this blessing and this wonderful message from God to his son Jacob, who would later even be called Israel. But he told Jacob in Genesis chapter 27, 29, look, those that bless you will be blessed. Those that curse you will be cursed. Not only did he say it to from Isaac to Jacob, but we also hear the prophet Balaam speaking of this in Numbers chapter 24, verse 9. When he spoke of those that bless Israel will be blessed, but those that curse her will be cursed. I believe that we need to understand what all this is meaning for us today. Because I don't, at least in my time, I mean, some of you are older than me and some are younger. I happen to be 44 years old. And some of you have lived longer, some of you haven't lived as long. But I would say in my lifetime, and I don't know about yours, but at least in America, in my lifetime, I have not heard of, and especially since being a Christian for 22 years, as much anti-Semitism as I see today. Hatred towards Jewish people and the nation Israel. It seems to be growing and increasing in our colleges and universities and even in our government, where we are seeing hostility and animosity towards the Jewish people. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, but if you're here today without Christ, I want to tell you that that's dangerous ground. And we have to take that seriously. But what does it mean? Does it seem a bit ambiguous? A bless Israel. Okay, what all does that entail? Well, let's look at the verse here and understand a couple things right off. Notice this verse. It says, "He will bless them that bless thee." But then notice this word curse. This word curse, the first word is a stronger word than the second curse. The first word is the Hebrew word eor. It means to basically to ban, to impose a barrier. It's a strong word, to put away. But then it says, "Him that curseth," that's the idea, to treat lightly, to hold in contempt. So we need to understand here in this verse that to treat Israel lightly, to hold them in contempt, and to mock, it is to incur the curse of God. That, again, that word curse, that first Hebrew word there, is to ban, to impose a barrier. And it's, and this second one, this first one again is much stronger. So anyway, if you just, we may do treat it lightly, but it is no light subject with God Almighty. And as I preach it, yes, I preach this with passion. I don't preach it with resentment, with bitterness. But as I understand, as of my position as a child of God, I need to understand, and you need to understand, that we must bless Israel. God said it. That's what He meant. We see it the message all throughout the Word of God, and therefore we need to understand, what is God talking about? Well, what does it mean to bless? What does it mean to bless Israel? Well, we see the word bless all throughout the Word of God, don't we? What about one of my favorites? "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name." What does the word bless mean? This is what the word bless means. It means to honor. It means to esteem. It means to respect. And God is saying, listen, I am telling you, Abraham, a promise. And we also refer to this as the Abrahamic covenant, where God is saying, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And that nation is Israel. And I am going to make a covenant with you. And this is different from some other covenants, because this is an unconditional covenant. This is God saying, I am making a covenant with my own self, with you, with my own testimony, at me as a witness. I am the one that's making a promise to you. And therefore, God promises it, that if it depends on Him, do you think it's going to last? Oh, yeah. God's not going to break a promise. Some covenants are conditional. Excuse me. It was conditional. It was based upon whether or not the children of Israel would respond in obedience or disobedience. But this is simply saying, God said, I am going to make you a nation, and this nation is going to be Israel, and I am going to make sure that she is protected, and she will not be destroyed. She will not be taken off this earth, and I will bless them that bless thee. Respect her. Recognize that God has set her apart from the rest of the world. And again, we'll see some of the reasons how God has done that. And I will say this before I get into some of the weeds. Some would say, well, what does that mean, that we have to respect the way Israel does everything? Of course not. I mean, same thing with America, right? With policies that they have, I don't agree with, and I don't support, I don't bless America for some of the policies that they have. I believe what we're understanding here is that just as we would, President Joe Biden, I may not respect his policy. I may not honor his policy, but the Bible commands me as a Christian to honor his position as the President of the United States of America. That's Bible. And I know you don't hear that preached a lot, but that's true. We have a respect for the position, but not necessarily what they're trying to promote, what they're trying to push. We have a right to speak against that, even in a respectful manner. But nevertheless, there are things in Israel, whether they do, whether it's their government policy that they make, every single military decision that they make, does it mean I have to wholeheartedly agree with it? No, because there's been situations in our own country that they've done that I hadn't agreed with it. But what does that mean then? It means that I understand that God has set this nation apart, and that even though I may disagree with some of the things that are there, I am to understand that God is using this nation to bring about His sovereign will. He has chosen this nation. And this nation is to be respected. This nation is to be honored. And I will say this, just like any other nation that has a sovereignty about it, they have a right to defend themselves. And they do. It's just like when 9/11 happened. And we were terrorist attacks on our Twin Towers, the World Trade Center. We responded with action against terrorists. And that was a right to defend our sovereignty, our freedom. And Israel also has that right. And we understand those things, my point is there are going to be some things that we don't necessarily agree, but we are blessing them as a nation, understanding God, you've set this nation apart. And we're going to bless them the way you want us to. So what does that look like? If you're taking notes, would you jot these down? I want to give you four ways this morning that I believe we can bless Israel. We are commanded to bless. And I believe every one of us has a responsibility to do this. And if you don't, you're on dangerous ground. Number one, we take God at His word and realize that Israel has been chosen of God to bless the nations. Bless the nations. God has chosen this country. And again, it's a very small one. And it's amazing how God's hand has been on this country since the beginning, since right here at Genesis chapter 12. How many times has this world tried to wipe out the Jews? Many times. Now they're coming back in record numbers, coming back to their land. Talked to a brother just the other day, and he says it's mind-boggling as they went and talked to the ambassador there from Israel there in D.C. and said, We can't express how many Jewish people are returning to the land. God's preparing them. And I'm telling you now that as we think upon the fact that He has chosen Israel to bless the nations, we know the greatest way He has blessed the nations is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been blessed. You know, Jesus as your Savior, it's because God set apart a nation called Israel. And I can thank the Jewish people that God chose them and their people group to bring about the Savior of the world. This Abrahamic covenant, as I mentioned, will not be destroyed. As was practiced then, they would divide animals, split them in half, and walk through them as a oath, as a word of their testimony that it would not be broken. And I want to tell you, God Himself went between the animals in a testimony to Abraham that this covenant would not be broken. God Himself. So understand that Israel will not be destroyed. No matter what these other countries are saying. And hey, listen, mark it down. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of enemies that surround Israel. I mean, you think upon Hamas, they are a self-proclaimed terrorist organization. Death to Israel is their message. Iran. They want Israel wiped off the map. Death to Israel is many of the message of the Arab nations, not all of the Arab nations. But they are surrounded, this little country called Israel, surrounded by about 16 Arab nations. And you would think, from a human perspective, many years ago, Israel would have been wiped out by now. But it will never be wiped out because God has chosen this nation. And I honor them for that. We take God at His word. I like what Ezekiel 11 says. And by the way, we understand Israel is not a Christian nation. It's not. So you say, Pastor, why do you respect a nation that's non-Christian? Exactly why I just said here in Genesis chapter 12, because God said so. God told us to. And you say, well, where is Israel right now according to God's plan? Listen, they're right on track, but I will say this. They are in rebellion against God. You say, well, why do we bless a nation that's rebelling against God? So that their hearts might be turned to the God who called them and the God that will save them if they turn back to Him. And that's where it gets back to you, Gentiles. And me as a Gentile, we may have some Jews here with us. I'm not sure. But God has called us, all of us, to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. How do we do that? We honor them. We bless them and let them know that we love them. And we thank God that they've been chosen out of all the world to represent God Almighty in the sense of the Messiah coming and also writing the precious Word of God. They gave us our Bible. We have the Word of God through the Jewish people. God's chosen people. As I was mentioning, Ezekiel gives, and the major prophets speak of this often, but I love what Ezekiel says. In Ezekiel chapter 11, I'll read this. You can mark it in your notes, or if you want to turn there, you could. But Ezekiel chapter 11 says here about judgment. But then he brings this word of hope after talking about the judgment. He says in verse 12, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord, for ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are around you." So at this time, they're talking about the context. His judgment is coming upon them from Babylon. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar would come and take them. And now the judgment of God is falling. So again, God is dealing with Israel, but He has not forgotten about Israel. If you will, they are being disciplined right now. But that just because someone is being disciplined doesn't mean they're being destroyed. It's the same thing with a parent, right? When you discipline a child, you're not doing that to destroy them. You're doing that to teach them. You're doing that to get their attention, to understand the reality that you do love them and you want to protect them and help them and guide them. It's the same way with God as dealing with Israel. They have rebelled against God. They have rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And now God turned to the Gentiles. It's called the church. It's called you and me and all made up of both Jews and Gentiles. And now God has turned to us to be a light to the world and especially to the Jewish people. Because they were the ones that started off as God's lighthouse. Across the communities and the cities and the countries. But they rejected. And now it is our opportunity to shine the light to them. Notice the hope that God gives them He says, "And the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred and all the house of Israel, holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them afar off among the heathen, spread them out, and although I have scattered them among the countries," that's what God has done, "get this, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from hence. And I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." You see the message of God, friends. It's the same message to you and me as well. When you walk away from God, God doesn't give up on you. And He has not given up on Israel. Israel will turn. There will be multitudes killed during the tribulation. Millions, but many multitudes will turn to God, and they will recognize Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But even now, I heard a testimony from a brother that's reaching out to Jewish people. He said they're coming to faith like they've never seen before. Even with this recent, I heard a testimony because of due to this recent terrorist attack from Hamas upon them, October 7th last year. There have been many Jews testifying of coming to Christ. I know it was evil what took place, but God will take that which was meant for evil and can use it for good. There are Jewish people turning to God. And just like we see here, God saying, "Israel, one day you're going to be back with me. You're going to be with me again. Like we started off, I chose you. You have rebelled through the years. I have not forsaken you. I've sent prophets. I've sent my own son to die for you. And you have rejected him. But one day you're going to believe and we're going to be back together. And my friend, that day's a coming. And until then, we have called to bless Israel that they might turn and believe." We take God at His word that He has chosen Israel in His sovereign plan. And listen, God, listen, please understand this. I say this respectfully because I have to remind myself of this. I do not live off of explanations. I live off promises. God doesn't owe me an explanation of why He chose Israel. I just take His word for it. Many people say, "Well, you owe me an explanation why you did this, God, or why you do this." He's God. He's God and He's good. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's just. And you say, "How does all this evil take place in the world, Pastor? How can He be a just God?" I'm here to tell you, I don't understand all the answers to that, friend. My heart wrenches many times I look across this world. But I do know that there's a Bible that I have and you have that God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." God will make all things right one day. And every evil that takes place in this world, they're going to have to give an account for it. And in God's timing, I would like the sons of thunder, James and John, they were the sons of thunder. They wanted to cast down judgment immediately upon those people that were causing them problems. And Jesus says, "You know not what spirit you're of." Listen, we don't get into when the judgment comes and how severe. That's God. He's going to do it. But friends, as a believer in God, we have to trust that He will always, the judge of the earth, will always do right. And so Christians, when we look across the world and we see the evil, we need to keep tender. We need to keep compassionate. But we see here, we can bless Israel by taking God at His word. But secondly, please write this down. We bless Israel by praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they shall prosper that love thee. Now listen, brethren, Christian, we have to be warned against this. This is not to use as a rabbit's foot to bring some kind of luck to your life. In other words, you pray, you say, well, I'll just pray for the peace of Jerusalem and just kind of do whatever I want to do and God will bless me. That's not what he's talking about here. That's not the spirit of this. This is the very fact that the spirit of, look, you have a general honor and respect because God has commanded us to, and we pray for Jerusalem, which is the center point of Israel, which I think is representative of the whole nation. How do we pray for the peace? Well, we pray for their protection against those that want to destroy her. That's a way that you can pray for the peace. I'll mention some things about a brother we know and have connections with as a church. I'll have a lot more liberty to talk about it tonight when we're not recording, but the things he's seeing and helping the people that are under distress right now and lives have nearly been destroyed. We understand that. Their protection. We pray for their salvation through believing that Jesus is their Messiah. You see, friends, the greatest peace that Jerusalem can know of is the Prince of Peace. And we need to pray. God promises, listen, I will bless you. You pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So pray for their protection. Pray that they would find the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and be blessed. That's the way we can pray. That God would send messengers their way and they would turn. But thirdly, a way that we can bless Israel is we can provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. Write this in your notes. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Romans 11:11. It says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their salvation is come unto the Gentiles. For to provoke them to jealousy. Did you see what God is saying in Romans 11? Am I done with them because they've stumbled? No, it's going to result in them being saved as a result of the Gentiles provoking them to jealousy. So here's a question, and it's a whole nother subject. How do we provoke people to jealousy in a righteous way? Because a lot of times we think of jealousy in a negative connotation, don't we? There can be. But there's also a righteous, because the Bible says God is a jealous God. So there is a righteous jealousy. So how do we provoke them to jealousy? I believe it's this. I believe it's being filled with the Spirit. I believe it's showing them that we love them, especially in a climate that's so toxic right now with anti-Semitism. I heard of a testimony of a Jewish girl at Texas A&M. Her own friends turned against her, would not stand up for her. And she's gone and has gone back to Israel because she said, I couldn't take it. You know what our Jewish friends need right now? They need for us to show them the love of Christ. They need for us to reach out to them and tell them that, hey, we're thankful for the nation of Israel, from where we get most of our scriptures, the Word of God, where we get our Messiah, Jesus Christ. And by the way, God has commanded us that if we will respect you and honor you, He will respect us. And if we curse you, God says His cursing will be upon us. We show love to them. We try to be there for them. And that's a way that we provoke them to jealousy. But not only that, but the very fact that when they see that's what they had, the Jews had that intimacy with God. They had a relationship with God as we look at the Old Testament and we see that so clearly displayed. And now they look at the Gentiles who have an intimacy with God, a communion with God, a relationship with God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the love of God. Hey, what do they see in you and me? They see resentment and coldness and bitterness and apathy. That's not going to provoke them to jealousy. They need to see that God has done a great work in your life. And my friend, if you're here today and you don't have any relationship with God, I'm telling you, your life is going to be cold and icy. And if you're here as a believer and you're just focusing on self, you're not going to be able to provoke them to jealousy. Like I said, we do it through gratitude for the nation, demonstrating the love of Christ. It's our understanding of the Scriptures. You know, they, and I don't say this to be disparaging, but the Orthodox Jew that really studies the Torah, I think it's only about the population of Orthodox Jews in Israel, I think is only about 14%. And they need the Lord, but all of them need the Lord. But my point is this: most of them are secular in mind there in Israel. And one of the things that they do not really have a knowledge of, and that is the Word of God. And one of the ways that you and I can be a testimony of provoking them to jealousy is know your Bible. Hey, be able to know what's in Isaiah 53. Be able to take them to Micah 5. Be able to take them through the book of Genesis and be able to say, look, this, you see this happening? Know the book of Psalms. Know the book of Proverbs. Know your Bible. And boy, a lot of times a Jew will think, man, here they are, these Gentiles. They know their Bible better than me. But sadly, a lot of the believers in the churches today are ignorant of the Word of God. They don't know their Bibles. They don't study their Bibles. They just look for a feel-good message and they go about their own business in life and don't really seek to submit their life to this precious holy book called the Bible. I hope that's not your testimony. I hope that you're wanting to show yourself approved unto God, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Know what it says to be saved. Know what it says about creation. Our walk with God. Sweet communion with God can provoke them to jealousy. Fourthly and lastly, how can we bless Israel? We can stand with Israel even when the world is against her. We can stand with Israel even with all the anti-Semitism, even when it puts us in the minority. We can stand with Israel. Does it mean that we ignore or overlook or even agree with sinful things that the nation does, the people do? But I will say this, when it comes to God choosing this nation, we will stand with that promise. God chose it. God said it. That settles it. I receive it by faith. I trust it by faith. And by God's grace, I'm going to live it by faith. So as a church, we stand with Israel in the ways that I shared with you here. We pray for them. We seek to provoke them. And we also understand and submit that God has chosen them. And in the meantime, He's chosen His church to go forth in power. So let's do that, Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Let's go out of here today and every day out into this community and let the light of Christ shine. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for each of